This podcast is sponsored by ebookit.com, self-publishing solutions for the independent author and small press. Visit us today at ebookit.com.
Welcome to the Toastmasters podcast, the official podcast of Toastmasters International. Hello, everybody. This is Greg Gazin. Now, having lunch with a friend can make for a great time, but have you ever thought of having lunch with someone you didn't know? That it could perhaps make for an extraordinary experience? Today we speak with an individual who has decided that for a personal growth project, not only have lunch with just one stranger, but rather 500. And that gentleman is our guest today. He's Nick Bendel. He's the owner of Hunter & Scribe, a copywriting agency that creates content for property and finance businesses. Nick is also a Toastmaster, having been a member since 2016, and currently a member of Dynamic North Shore Toastmasters Club. When Nick isn't growing his business or doing public speaking, he's meeting new people and working towards that goal of 500 lunches with strangers. So far, Nick's tally is at 376. Now, perhaps since I'm meeting Nick for the first time and I do have a box of cookies in front of me, maybe that might be 377. I'm not sure. I'll have to ask. Nick is featured in the April 2024 issue of the Toastmaster magazine with an article by Laura Mishkind entitled 500 Lunches with Strangers, How One Toastmaster's Personal Growth Project Changed His Life. Coming to us today from Sydney, Australia, where he lives and works, Nick Bendel, welcome to the Toastmasters podcast.
Thank you for having me, Greg.
Well, first of all, it's quite a goal, and so far you're at 377. I guess to kick things off, Nick, please tell us a little bit about this personal growth project and why lunches?
Back in 2018, I had a full-time job as a journalist, which I really enjoyed, and I started my business that I have today, a copywriting agency on the side, which I was doing before work and after work on the weekends, and the plan was eventually I would quit my job and go full-time in my business. And I thought, I have to make this business work. This business is my future. It has to work. It has to work. It has to work. But how do I make a business work? I've never had a business before. As I was running this through my mind every single day, it occurred to me, you know what? If I'm going to succeed with business, I probably need to change my outlook and my mindset because I am not a social person. I describe myself as an antisocial introvert. My idea of a good time is staying at home on my own with a book. So I thought, if I'm going to succeed with business, I'm probably going to need to improve my social skills and start putting myself out there and strengthen my mindset and build a great network. And these were very vague thoughts that were going through my mind over a period of several months, and I wouldn't have been able to articulate them then as clearly as I just have. As I was thinking these thoughts, I stumbled upon this woman from Melbourne, Australia. This was now in April 2019. Her name was Kaylee Chu. I'd never met her. I didn't know her. And she did a post on LinkedIn saying something like, I've just published my book about my experience having lunch with 100 strangers last year, i.e. in 2018. My first thought, Greg, was, what a stupid idea. Why would you have lunch with 100 strangers? Why would you have lunch with even one stranger? That is such a stupid idea. Because, of course, I'm an antisocial introvert. I couldn't imagine anything more uncomfortable or stupid than having lunch with all these people. But I was very curious. I thought, why did she do this? Who did she meet? How did she meet them? What did they talk about? What was the result of all her lunches? And there was a link at the bottom of her LinkedIn post, so I clicked on it, and it took me through to this website that she had just built for her new book. There were a few sentences describing this new book of hers, and funnily enough, the things she wrote in those few sentences were quite similar to these thoughts that have been going through my head in the past few months. So this woman, Kaylee Chu, she had social anxiety, which I didn't have, but she mentioned to get over her social anxiety, she had decided to have lunch with 100 strangers, and she massively improved her social skills, and she started putting herself out there, and she grew her mindset, and she started attracting all these opportunities. And I thought, oh my God, that's what I've been thinking. I immediately ordered a copy of her book, and it arrived a couple of weeks later, and I started reading it, and I was hooked from the first page, and I thought, I'm going to do what this woman did, and I'm going to have lunch with 100 strangers. But at some point in her book, Greg, she explained that even though her goal was 100, the lunches were so beneficial that by the time she got to 100, she had decided to keep going. And I thought, if I'm going to get to 100 and keep going, why call it 100 lunches? Why not call it 500 lunches? So that's how I've ended up having lunch with 500 strangers. And this woman, Kaylee Chu, she actually turned out to be my very first lunch.
Wow. Now, you're not in the same city. You're quite far apart.
Yes. So she's in Melbourne. I'm in Sydney. We're about 1,000 kilometers apart. So I actually flew to Melbourne for the day just to have lunch with her.
That was an expensive lunch.
It was. It was, but it was a wonderful lunch. I got up at 5 a.m., went to the airport, flew to Melbourne, had lunch, went back to the airport, returned to Sydney, got home at 9 p.m. It was a long day, but a wonderful day.
What did you talk about?
Well, we talked about why she'd had all these lunches and her experience and how she changed. And we talked about why I was planning to have the lunches. And she was very, very supportive and encouraging what I could expect. And she was asking me what my plans were. So it was more about, there was a lot of talk about this exciting adventure that lay ahead of me. And that was August 27, 2019. And we've become friends and we've stayed friends and we've caught up quite a few times. In fact, we have this thing where every year on the anniversary, August 27, we have lunch. So our first lunch was August 27, 2019. The next year in 2020, we couldn't have lunch because the pandemic was going on and Melbourne at that time was in lockdown. Sydney wasn't, but Melbourne was. The next year in 2021, both our cities were in lockdown.
Right.
In 2022, she came to Sydney and we had lunch in Sydney. And then last year in 2023, we had lunch in Melbourne. So this year, it looks like we're going to meet in Sydney.
That's awesome. So when you're having these lunches, what's the idea behind them?
Well, there are a few things I was looking for, Greg, from these lunches, which I'm pleased to say I have been able to achieve. So I was looking to improve my social skills. I've done that. I'm now much more comfortable. In fact, I never really had an issue one-on-one, but I would often feel very uncomfortable if I was with a group, especially if I didn't know anyone, if I was at a party or a networking event. Now I'm fine in that situation. I've also really strengthened my mindset because I've met a lot of incredible people. And when you hang around those sorts of people, it rubs off on you. I've also made a point of very deliberately meeting people from all walks of life, all ages and backgrounds and professions and interests. So I'm meeting people who I wouldn't ordinarily meet. And when you meet people you wouldn't ordinarily meet, you have conversations you wouldn't ordinarily have, which allows you to learn things you wouldn't ordinarily learn. So that's been very beneficial. I've also learned a lot about human behavior, and I've also built an incredible network.
Okay. I mean, the networking part is obvious. I'm trying to think, when you're looking at having lunch with someone and you're going to approach them, what is the approach? What's the win-win scenario?
Well, I never try to sell it to them. I never explain how they would benefit from having lunch with me. I meet most people via LinkedIn, and sometimes I'll look for someone from a particular background. For example, I remember I spent a long time trying to meet a diplomat, so I kept sending cold messages to diplomats I found on LinkedIn. Funnily enough, none of them ever replied to me, which is not very diplomatic, but there you go. And so I will find someone who either is from a background where I want to meet someone from that background, or they just look interesting in some way. And then I'll send them a cold message on LinkedIn and I explain what I'm doing and I ask them if they want to have lunch with me. But I never ever try to sell it to them, which is very deliberate, because if I have to cajole them into it, if they feel like having lunch with me is like going to the dentist, then it's not going to be enjoyable for them and then it won't be enjoyable for me. And so most people I send these cold messages to, most people never reply. But what I have discovered, the small percentage of people who do reply, they've actually turned out to be a lot more open-minded and positive and proactive than the average person. I think because of those things, they've also turned out to be a lot more successful and inspiring than the average person. Funnily enough, without planning to do this, I've actually filtered in higher quality people.
Because I'm assuming sometimes when you get a random email or a random text on LinkedIn, then you think either it's spam or scam.
Exactly. And so I don't hold it against people if they think I'm trying to scam them in some way or sell them something or I don't know, trying to marry them or convert them to my religion. There are all right. sorts of reasons why someone would say no. But the people who say yes, they tend to be really open-minded and positive and wanting to try new things. And that leads to really, really interesting lunches.
And of course, now you have a blog so people can see that you actually have been having lunches with individuals.
Exactly. And I make sure to send them an article so that they know it's real, especially if I'm inviting a female, because I can imagine some women, very understandably, would be nervous about a strange man suddenly inviting them out. There would naturally be some concerns there. So if I can send them an article and they can see it's real, that at least eliminates one of the objections.
How did you start getting the first few? Because I would imagine that the first few were probably the most difficult.
Well, what I did before I started having these lunches, I deliberately published an article on LinkedIn explaining what I was doing so that when I contacted people, I could send them the link to the article so that they knew that I was a real person doing a real thing. The way I got those first few lunches, it was just law of averages. I just sent lots of messages. Most people never replied, but a few people did say yes. And now that I've built a reputation, every time I have a lunch, I publish a post on LinkedIn, and these posts have been getting a lot of attention. And so now I have people referring me or people approaching me for lunch. So now it's easier, as you suggested. But just to begin with, it was just sending a lot of messages. It was just law of averages.
Wow. So once you find an individual you want to have lunch with, what do you do to go about preparing, or do you prepare?
It's very little preparation deliberately. There's usually a reason why I want to meet this person. They might have an interesting job. This might be a particular job and I've never met anyone with that job before. I will deliberately not do any preparation because now I'm curious to know about their job and I have a million questions and I don't want to read about it. I want them to tell me. Or it might be that they're involved in some sort of project or organization that's interesting. In that case, I'll read up just a little bit about the project or the organization just so they know that I have some sort of knowledge. I guess it's a sign of respect, but I very deliberately do very little preparation because I want to go in there with an open mind and a curious mind, and I want them to tell the story to me.
Is there one in particular that would be most memorable?
There have been a lot of memorable lunches. One that comes to mind is I had lunch with the former head of the hostage negotiation unit in New South Wales, the state where I lived. This guy was fascinating, a really nice guy too. His name is Steve. Of course, I had a million questions. I thought there's no way he's going to answer most of these questions. And to my astonishment, he answered all of them. That was an absolutely fascinating lunch. I can remember also having lunch with a magician, which was great. He showed off some of his tricks, which were just mind-blowing. And I had so many questions about how he learned to become a magician and the psychology behind fooling people. And I just found that such an interesting lunch. Another one that comes to mind is I had lunch with a prison governor, and just hearing him telling me why people end up in prison, their backgrounds, how people behave in prison, how you need to, if you're a warden or a governor, how you need to interact with these people. I just found that so fascinating.
Were there any where you went in with a specific topic in mind or a specific thought or maybe a preconceived notion and then you were totally wrong?
Well, one thing I've discovered was I usually learn a bit about the person from their LinkedIn profile. Almost everyone I meet through LinkedIn. So I tend to know something about them. But what I've discovered, Greg, is that the LinkedIn profile really only gives you a very superficial insight into a person. And I've discovered everyone has got a story, some sort of remarkable story in their past, which often they don't realize is remarkable because it's just so normal for them, or they've got this whole other life. And so you go into these lunches thinking the person is one thing, and then you discover that there's this whole other life and this whole other person that had never occurred to you.
Can you share one or two?
Okay. I can think of one woman. I won't reveal her name, but the stuff I told you.
Fair enough.
She told me in confidence. When she was 13, she was raised by a single mum who wasn't very nice, and the single mum got a new boyfriend and she wanted the boyfriend to move in. And so the mum literally kicked her out of home. She told her, "You have to leave." The mum wanted the boyfriend instead of the daughter. And so she was homeless and lived on the streets, but she kept showing up to school every day and did very well in school. ended up going to university, did very well there. She ended up starting a business, which is very different from her current business. She had kind of a branding agency, and she ended up doing work with world-famous celebrities, Hollywood actors and actresses. I remember one of the fascinating things she told me was these celebrities, they make their living from projecting a certain image. The image is often fake, but that's how they make their money. And so they have to live a double life. And it can be very stressful having to be two people. And it can also really affect you psychologically, because the person who you actually are is not the person that people love. They love this completely fake person, this fake persona. And anyway, this woman I had lunch with, she explained that these clients who were very rich and famous and loved and successful, a lot of them were deeply miserable. And I remember she told me about one actress who would always say to her, "Oh, you know, I just wanted to be a teacher. I just wanted to be a teacher. You know, maybe I should quit this acting thing and go back to being a teacher." I found that really interesting, that that lunch just went in a completely different direction to what I expected.
Well, it almost sounds like she was actually happy to talk to someone about it.
I think so, and someone she could open up.
It's fascinating. What's one thing perhaps that you've learned or learned about yourself in this whole process?
One thing I've learned about myself, and I guess this would apply to everyone, but we so often tell ourselves, I can't do this, I can't do that, and it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. I've discovered that if you just tried things, if you just start something, you can learn it. On a related note, one of the reasons we don't want to do these things is we're very concerned about the reaction of other people. Are they going to judge me? Are they going to laugh at me? What if I fail? What I've discovered though, Greg, is once you start doing things, it's amazing to the extent that people do look at you, they almost always look at you positively. They admire your courage. And once you start doing something, you start learning it, and that gives you some confidence, which then gives you the desire and the ability to keep moving forward, which gives you more confidence, and it becomes a virtuous cycle. So I've discovered that I'm capable of so much more than I realized, and that, of course, is true of everyone.
You've hit the nail right on the head, because it's interesting, because right in front of me, my next question, my next comment was to share about when I first started podcasting in 2006. It was the early days of podcasting. I was pretty raw. I'd only been a Toastmaster for a few years. I am naturally shy, quiet, and introverted. My first table topic, impromptu speech in Toastmasters, didn't make it to 12 seconds. But when I first started, it was all about the podcast. And I did it for one of the high performance leadership projects for the Legacy program. But it was about the podcast. Now it's about helping those that I speak to share their stories. And if I look back to when I first started, again, I was very nervous. It was like, oh, I'm going to put this out there for the whole world to listen to. And, you know, are they going to judge me, et cetera, et cetera. But now I feel a bit more confident. I'm a lifelong learner, so I am still trying to get better each time. But it sounds very similar to what you went through. My question is that obviously when you first started, lunches were probably a certain way. Maybe the food is the same. But perhaps after 376 lunches, you're probably a different person. You've probably gained some skill. You probably gained some confidence. So how do the lunches appear now compared to what they were like when you first started?
I'm definitely a different person. So I think the people I'm meeting are maybe having different conversations than they would if they'd met me a few years earlier. And I think I'm also now a better and more comfortable conversationalist. So the conversations flow more smoothly. And I think also because I'm a different person, I'm asking different questions than I would have in the past. And to the extent that I steer the conversation, I guess I'm steering it in different directions.
Well, I know in the article you mentioned how you've become more proactive, more open-minded. You've also improved your leadership skills and your social skills. Can you perhaps share an example of that?
Yes. It's funny, tonight I'm single and I'm going to a singles night where there are going to be more than 100 strangers. Part of the reason I'm doing this, I'd like to meet someone. However, actually, there's a larger reason I'm doing this. I just think, oh, wow, this is just going to be really good practice for my social skills. And in the past, the thought of going to an event with 100 strangers just would have made me so uncomfortable. But now I'm really looking forward to it, and I'm keen to practice these skills I've learned. That would be one example. Another example that comes to mind, I've discovered, and this follows on from what we were discussing 3 or 4 minutes ago, I've discovered, Greg, that when you start doing something, when you show leadership in something, and it can be anything, it could be by starting your own podcast or inviting people to lunch or coaching your child's soccer team, it could be anything. I've discovered that when you take action with something and show leadership in some way, it's amazing how people start looking at you differently. It's also amazing how you start thinking differently about yourself. With that realization, I have just become more of a take charge kind of guy, hopefully not in a domineering way, but now instead of waiting for other people to do stuff, I just, you know, if I see that something needs to be done, I just go and do it. I appoint myself as the leader, and I've realized that 9 times out of 10, people are really grateful that there's someone who's going to take charge and someone that they can follow.
Wow. And that feels really good, doesn't it?
It does. It feels good in the sense that I no longer have to wait around for someone else to take charge, which can be a time-consuming and frustrating process. When you're the driver rather than the passenger, you, I guess, decide when the vehicle leaves and where the vehicle goes.
Right. The butterflies become the excitement rather than the fear.
Yes, I like that.
Now, Nick, you just realized that there are 300,000 Toastmasters plus the 100 so people that you're going to meet tonight. You're at 376. I think that number is going to go up very quickly.
Well, I'm trying to get to 500 sometime next year.
So August, the 5 years in 2019 to 2024, you figure that's a stretch?
That was the original plan, and I was on track until coronavirus, and then I fell behind, and I've made peace with not doing it in 5 years. So now I think it's probably going to be 6 years.
So Nick, there's a Toastmasters connection related to the lunches, but it was just a coincidence at the beginning?
Yes. So Greg, I've had lunch with people who, during the course of the lunch, we've discovered that we're both in Toastmasters. That wasn't the reason I met the person, and that wasn't why they wanted to meet me, but it's been nice. It's nice sometimes when you're chatting to someone and you discover during the course of the lunch that you're both Toastmasters.
Sometimes it's hard when you go, no matter where you go, there's a Toastmaster somewhere.
Exactly.
Now, how did Toastmasters play a part in helping you build your skills, build your communication skills, build your confidence with respect to having these lunches?
I think maybe in a couple of ways. I started going to Toastmasters in 2016 because I was terrified of public speaking, and I thought this would be something that would be good to learn from both a personal and a professional aspect. I started the year before in 2015 going on a personal development journey, trying lots of little things, and each little thing leads to the next little thing. And Toastmasters was one of those things that I decided to do as a form of personal development. I think if not for Toastmasters, and if not for the personal development steps that occurred before Toastmasters, and if not for the personal development steps that occurred after Toastmasters, I don't think I would have had these lunches at all, because if I'd discovered this book from the woman, Kaylee Chu, in Melbourne, who'd had 100 lunches. If I discovered that at a different point in my life, I would have just said, well, that's a stupid idea. It's not for me. But because I'd done this personal development over the past few years, I had a different mindset, and I was more open to growth and trying things, and Toastmasters definitely helped with that. And then once I started having these lunches, thanks to Toastmasters, I was a better communicator and better able to converse in a meaningful way with these strangers I was having lunch with. Well, interestingly, Greg, one thing I discovered from reading this book, 100 Lunches with Strangers by Kaylee Chu, the woman who inspired me, Kaylee mentioned in her book that her very first lunch was so hard for her because she suffered from social anxiety and found it really hard to meet new people. And so on that very first lunch, she said almost nothing. And as she mentions, it was so hard and uncomfortable for the other person because this other person was desperately trying to get her to talk and was trying to engage her and ask her questions. And Kaylee, just because she was scared and she wasn't a good communicator at that point, now she's brilliant, she really struggled to communicate with him. Thankfully, I've never had that social anxiety. So I think even from my first lunch with Kaylee Chu, I was okay. But from now having lunch with 376 people, I'm much, much better at it than I was. And I'm able to speak more confidently and articulately as a result.
And it's amazing that after that first one, she just didn't call it quits right there, because I'm sure a lot of people would have.
She actually wanted to. The thing that inspired her was she wanted to teach her young children about resilience and perseverance. And she thought if she gave up, it would send a really bad message to her children. So that was actually what forced her on.
Wow. And I found for myself with podcasting, I found that doing table topics and also building those listening skills that I learned through Toastmasters, doing evaluations, really helped me connect better with the individuals that I'm speaking with.
It absolutely does. And funnily enough, on a related note, there's a Toastmasters club in regional New South Wales, which I believe is unique in the world. So this Toastmasters club is in a prison. From what I understand, it's the only prison Toastmasters club in the world, or certainly the only one in Australia. I was invited to give a speech at this prison by the Toastmasters club. And so I got to give a 45-minute speech about my lunches to all these prisoners. The idea was that it would be important for them to learn about networking and social skills once they got released. And that was such an incredible opportunity. I never would have gotten that opportunity if not for Toastmasters, and I certainly wouldn't have had the confidence or the skill to speak for 45 minutes to a room full of strangers if not for Toastmasters. So that is another thing that I'm really grateful to Toastmasters for.
Well, Nick, this has been absolutely fantastic. And while, although I guess we'll consider it a snack and not an official lunch, it's been an absolute blast. And folks, if you've enjoyed this episode and are now encouraged to have lunch with a stranger or perhaps Nick, I encourage you to share this episode with your friends, families, and other individuals. You can find the Toastmasters podcast at toastmasterspodcast.com, toastmasters.org, Google, Apple, Spotify, and anywhere you get your podcasts. Now, before we wrap up, Nick, if people are interested perhaps in having lunch with you or to connect with you, what's the best way to find you?
Definitely the best way is on LinkedIn. I'm very active on LinkedIn, so please send me a message on LinkedIn.
Great, and we'll certainly put a link to Nick's profile in the show notes. And folks, also, just a reminder to, if you want to read the article in the April 2024 issue of the Toastmaster magazine, it's called 500 Lunches with Strangers, How One Toastmaster's Personal Growth Project Changed His Life. Nick Mandel, thank you so much for taking the time. And now you're making me hungry and I want to schedule lunch with you.
Well, I'm looking forward to the day we get to have lunch, Greg. Thank you for the chat. It's been wonderful.
Ever imagined a book written just for you? Introducing Pooks.ai. We're not just another bookstore. We're the future of reading. Our state-of-the-art AI adapts each book to your specific needs, creating a personalized masterpiece. Visit Pooks.ai now. That's P-O-O-K-S.ai. And use the promotion code SPOTIFY for a whopping 50% off. Pooks.ai. Your personalized book awaits.